Kelly Tyrrell arrived 20 minutes later, dropped her bag on the carpet, and sat down with an exaggerated sigh. She called a waitress over and ordered a coffee, then gave Joshua a perfunctory kiss. "Have you got your contract?" she asked. "We're working on it." He gave the bar a quick scan. Helen Vanham wasn't anywhere to be seen. "Good for you. God, what a day! My editor's been having kittens." "I only caught you all in the hop, did she?" Barrington Greer asked. "And then some," Kelly admitted. "I've been researching for the last 15 hours without a break, going through the Saldanha family history. We're putting together an hour-long documentary for tonight. Those royals are one bunch of weird people." "Are you going to present it?" Joshua asked. "No chance. Kirsty McShane got it, bitch. She's sleeping with the current affairs editor, you know, that's why. I'll probably wind up as fashion correspondent or something. If only we'd had some advance warning, I could have prepared, found an angle." "I only wasn't sure about the timing herself," he said. "She's only been thinking about public appearances for the last fortnight." There was a murderous silence as Kelly's head slowly turned to focus on Joshua. "What?" He felt as though he'd suddenly been dumped into freefall. "You know her? You've known who she is?" "Well, sort of, in a way, I suppose, yes, she did mention it." Kelly stood up fast, the motion nearly toppling her chair. "Mention it, you shit, Joshua Calvert. Ione Saldanha is the biggest story to hit the whole Confederation for 3 years, and you knew about it, and you didn't tell me, you selfish, egotistical, mean-minded, Xenoc-buggering bastard. I was sleeping with you. I cared." She clamped her mouth shut and snatched her bag up. "Didn't that mean anything to you?" "Of course. It was..." He accessed his neural mnemonics thesaurus file. "Stupendous." "Bastard." She took 2 paces towards the door, then turned around. "And you're shit useless in bed, too," she shouted. Everyone in Harkey's bar was staring at him. He could see a lot of grins forming. He closed his eyes for a moment and let out a resigned sigh. "Women?" He swiveled round in his chair to face Roland Frampton. "About the insurance rates." The cavern wasn't like anything Joshua had seen in Tranquility before. It was roughly hemispherical, about 20 meters across, with the usual level white polyp floor. But the wall's regularity was broken up by organic protuberances, great cauliflower growths that quivered occasionally as he watched. There were also the tight doughnuts of sphincter muscles. Equipment cabinets, with a medical look, were fused into the polyp, as though they were being extruded or osmotically absorbed. He couldn't tell which. The whole place was so biological, it made him want to squirm. "What is it?" he asked Ione. "A clone womb center." She pointed to one of the sphincters. "We gestate the servitor house chimps in these ones. All of the habitat's servitors are sexless, you see. They don't mate. So Tranquility has to grow them. We've got several varieties of chimps, and the sergeants, of course. Then there are some specialist constructs for things like track repair and light tube maintenance. There are 43 separate species in all." "Ah, good. The wombs are plumbed directly into the nutrient ducts. There's very little hardware needed." "Right. I was gestated in here." Joshua's nose wrinkled up. He didn't like to think about it. Ione walked over to a waist-high, steel-grey equipment stack standing on the floor. Green and amber LEDs winked at her. There was a cylindrical zero-tau pod recessed into the top, 20 centimeters long, 10 wide. Its surface resembled a badly tarnished mirror. She used her affinity to load an order into the stack's Bitech processors, and the pod hinged open. Joshua watched silently as she placed the little sustentator globe inside. His son. Part of him wanted to put a stop to this right now, to have the child born properly, to know him, watch him grow up. "It is customary to name the child now," Ione said, "if you want to." "Marcus." His father's name. He didn't even have to think about that. Her sapphire eyes were damp, reflecting the soft pearl light from the electrophorescent strips in the ceiling. "Of course. Marcus Saldanha it is, then." Joshua's mouth opened to protest. "Thank you," he said meekly.